801-975 The Fanatic on this Friday night. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Tyler Zulli's producing. I'm Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Wide range of things tonight on this Friday. Ah, these Fridays have been good to us. Last week when we did the announcement for the Hall of Fame came out with Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett. Great, great NBA Hall of Fame class. And we had fun talking last week about those guys and who you would start your franchise with. And then we followed it up with active players that you felt would be next at some point, not next, but at some point would also have a case for making the Hall of Fame, basketball Hall of Fame. And this time around, just talking about the leagues and what they're doing, the NFL continuing to move forward with the NFL draft on the 23rd to 25th, the NBA, they have a proposal where they're asking the league, the teams are all coming together and asking the teams to maybe push things back a little bit to give them some time to, you know, set their offseason up the right way. Here it is, which is, you know, what it says quickly from Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium. The NBA and NBPA have agreed to extend the moratorium on transactions, agreements, trades, player team options indefinitely, sources tell The Athletic and The Stadium. Business remains paused. So, I mean, that's good. It's not a rush right now. The Bulls are making some noise because they're hiring a new head of basketball operations, and Arturis Karnisovas from Denver takes that job. He now hires an executive from the Pelicans, J.J. Polk, as the assistant general manager. So they're going to hopefully change some things. And I say hope because, you know, it's one of the biggest franchises out there, one of the historic franchises, Chicago Bulls. Hopefully they fix that thing. But they're still going. They're still going overall. So we started off with that conversation of who's doing it the right way, the NFL or the NBA, with how they're handling their league during this hiatus of action on the floor for the NBA and the NHL. And then, of course, with Major League Baseball supposed to be underway at this point. And then also the NFL with just moving on with business as usual. Again, Shams Charania just saying what he just said. Business remains paused. The NFL, even though they're not in season, business remains on schedule. Who's handling it the right way? 610-632-0975. And Jim says on Twitter, when he's talking about Major League Baseball and the realigning part of it, if it gets the season going, why not? Because there's just more to it. There's more to it. I know we all want it back, but I'm willing to wait and make sure everything is right and get back to what we know, to be as close as possible to the new norm. And this might be the new norm because this will be only for the 2020 season. But, I mean, I just don't love it. I don't love it. 610-632-0975. We'll give you some of the responses as well on Twitter for Will Smith. The best Will Smith movie. What's Will Smith's best movie? Listening to something and they were talking about Enemy of the State. Great movie with Gene Hackman. Many, many, many people in that movie that we're talking about here, Enemy of the State. I mean, just so many people. Let me give you a couple of names of people. Will Smith, of course, Gene Hackman, John Voight, Regina King, Jason Lee. Only appears in the beginning, but Jason Lee. Right? Lisa Bonet, Jack Black, Jamie Kennedy, local guy, Scott Kahn, and that's Seth Green as well. I mean, this is Tom Sizemore. I love Tom Sizemore in Enemy of the State. Especially not the last scene, but we know when everything really comes down in the restaurant when they're eating dinner, he's just having at it, going for it. But Sidney Jones, he might be going for it this season, whenever they get underway. He might be going for a starting position, depending on what's happened. We know about the acquisition of Darius Slay. in the trade from Detroit, bringing in someone that's the number one corner. I love it. I champion it. It's a fantastic, fantastic move by the Birds. But I'm not done yet because they still need something opposite Darius Slay. I'm not confident in Avante Maddox, which we hear could be a potential starting outside corner. Not confident in Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, Crevon LeBlanc. None of them. I want a starter opposite Darius Slay. Well, if you listen to Sidney Jones and with the draft upcoming, since it's still going on, I hope they address the cornerback position at some point early. Sidney Jones is like, not so fast. So he spoke to John Clark of NBC Sports Philly. Here is the short conversation with Sidney Jones on where he is right now.
You're working out with Ronnie Braxton, which is really good. And Ronnie said he is working with you physically and mentally. What is he working with you mentally wise?
Really just trying to stay focused in all situations. Even when you're tired, just staying focused in terms of being perfect when you're tired. I think that's a big difference of training, just training for precision, really. I think that's a game changer. Training for the fourth quarter to be as sharp as the fourth quarter as you were in the first quarter.
Howie Roseman told us here in Philadelphia that you've had some injuries and they haven't seen everything from you, and that it's now time for you to prove it. Do you also feel that way?
Oh, most definitely. Every year you have to prove it. No matter who you are in this league, it's a proven league. So what have you done for me lately in the league? So I'm here to do that.
How much of you do you think we've seen so far in the NFL? What percentage and what else is there for you to show?
There's a whole lot left. That's all I can tell you. Yeah, I haven't seen nothing yet.
How motivated are you this offseason?
I can't even describe it. It's not even on a radar. It's not even on a meter. It's thousands of times above that meter. I feel like I've gone through that adversity. I think I've, you know, weathered the storm. I'm here back. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to, you know, show what I can do and prove it.
Well, John Clark with Eagles cornerback Sidney Jones. John Clark, of course, NBC Sports Philadelphia. That's, of course, from courtesy of NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, where we were able to get that audio. And I was a big Sidney Jones supporter when they drafted him coming out of school. I thought that it was a nice move by them. They had a nice pick with Derek Barnett. And you go for the corner in the second round who injured, but he had a high grade, one of the top corners out there in the draft that year. And I thought it was a nice move by Howie Roseman to take him, even though there were some healthy guys that were available. And we know the Achilles is a tough injury to return from, and especially with the position that he plays, it was going to be difficult to get back to himself, right? But I have faith in Howie Roseman because it's like, all right, you know, nice draft, and he's done some nice things, and second round picks especially have been pretty good. I'm all right with it. He has since disappointed. And I mean really disappointed. Last training camp, they told us he was the best player in training camp. Crevon LeBlanc also looked very good. He was later injured, did not play the start of the season. Sidney Jones did play the start of the season, and he was not good. Not good. You just heard what he said. We haven't seen anything yet. He cannot describe where he is right now because there is no description for it. He feels great, very confident. He's in a good place right now. Listen, it's year number four for him. I'm already on Derek Barnett's case, and he had 6.5 sacks last season. Are you buying what Sidney Jones is selling us here? Does this mean? Listen, I'm at the point now with him as a supporter. No more talk. Just show me. No more talk. Please, just show me.
Yeah, last year was my last year with him.
Absolutely.
So I gave him three. I thought three was plenty.
Uh-huh.
I am to the point now where if it's not a show me year at this point, I think the Eagles have to move on. And I was a guy, I don't know how you felt about it, I was a guy that loved the draft pick when they made it. Yeah, I went, wow, he got that guy in the second round. He's first round
talent.
Totally
agree. And the way they were pumping up Derek Barnett, I'm like, oh, you got yourself a defensive end for the future and a shutdown corner, or at least a starting corner, right? If so far we've gotten Trey Waynes out of Sidney Jones, wouldn't we be thrilled?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, right? I look at the corners in this year's draft, and I felt better about Sidney Jones even post-injury than I did about most of the other corners in this draft. Like, sure. I think C.J. Henderson's going to be a nice corner.
He will be.
I don't know how I feel about guys like Christian Fulton. I don't know how I feel about A.J. Terrell. I don't know how to feel about a lot of these guys. I think Trayvon Diggs is a good corner. But I felt way more comfortable about Sidney Jones, even post-injury, than I do about a lot of these guys coming out of the draft.
Well, listen, I'm looking at this man, and I'm like, look, Sidney Jones, I've backed you. I've taken, you know, some arguments on the air, discussing it with Mike Missanelli, who did not like the pick at the time, because as he said, you don't take an injured player when you have healthy players there, and the Achilles is a problem. You know, it's hard to come back from. I just don't see it. I like the fact that he seems like he's in a good place. I do. But I just don't believe it. I just do not believe that he can come back this season. What evidence is there for us to believe what he is saying? There's no evidence. None. Oh man, what do you guys make of that? I appreciate him feeling that way. I want him to feel confident about him coming back and being the cornerback that he thought he was coming into the NFL draft. The reason why he was talked about as one of the top two corners in that draft, and we know what has since happened for Sidney Jones. It's a tough spot for him, a tough situation overall. He's been given the opportunities. He has not performed well enough. He has not. He just simply has not. Okay? He was selected in that draft very high for a reason. Yes, he has a Super Bowl ring. He does. He absolutely does. But, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He worked his way back. Drafted in 2017, right? If you remember, 2017, we know the Eagles took Derek Barnett. The Philadelphia Eagles, first of all, the top corner in that draft that year was who? Marshawn Lattimore. How's he doing? He's pretty good. And remember, the corners taken after Sidney Jones. And it's not even the corners, because Dalvin Cook, we know, was taken one spot ahead. That was frustrating. You do now have Miles Sanders, but a lot of people take Dalvin Cook over Miles Sanders. Understandably. And I'm with you right there. But here's the point. Right after, three spots later, Quincy Wilson goes, and then Tez Tabor. Now, even though Tez Tabor has not performed well for the Lions, he was healthy. Do something. Not getting anything. I just don't know where you can buy it.
You're starting to sound like that meme, the picture with the guy with the stick. And he's just poking, and he's like, do something.
Yes, just do something. Not do something. Listen, he had the two big plays at the end of those games down the stretch when they were trying to win those games to secure a playoff spot. I was happy for him. But all I can think of overshadowing those two nice plays that he had against Dallas, and I can't remember the last game that, I mean, the Giants. Was it the Giants? And I can't remember who it was, but it was one of those NFC East teams, and he had two big plays, two nice plays, that at the end when they needed him. There's no evidence that I can believe and trust Sidney Jones with what he said. It has not stopped me from taking a corner, even though they are not, again, up to the standards that you have them, where you had Sidney Jones feeling good about him, taking him as an injured player in the second round. They are probably better than he is at this point. And what we're asking them to be is probably a number two or number three corner here for the Philadelphia Eagles. Are you buying what Sidney Jones is selling, guys? 610-632-0975, because I am not. Devon Givens, Tyler Zulli's producing. We're here with you until 10 o'clock. 610-632-0975. 0975. Love the confidence. I feel bad for the guy because it's almost as if he's trying to believe something that just won't happen. Won't happen. Let's go to the phones. Go to Brian in Plymouth meeting next on the Fanatic. What's up, B? How you doing?
Hey, Devon.
What's going on?
Sorry to hear about your daughter. I mean, those senior memories, they're, you can always replace the money, but that's a shame that she's missing out on some of the senior year stuff.
Thanks, man. Hopefully they figure something out. And I think all the schools, of course, are trying to do something. All the schools trying to do something, not just here, but I'm sure elsewhere as well, where they'll figure something out to give the kids those opportunities to have those memories.
Yeah, and actually, my dad's a retired teacher, and he mentioned that at dinner last night. He's saying, he felt bad for high school seniors.
Yeah, so. Man. Yep.
So anyway, I've been wrong all along about, I thought that these leagues were going to be able to come back a lot quicker with no fans. And, I was basing that on, I really thought that we would be a lot further along in the ability to test than we are now, which, is kind of a national failing. But I thought that, I saw a story earlier today where Amazon is going to set up their own lab and do their own testing for their company.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was a story on CNN or something like that. And I really thought these sports leagues were going to be able to go out on the international market and just buy the WHO tests, which are, readily available because, if you're just kind of doing that in a private environment, it shouldn't be a need to do the CDC tests. So you're not taking them away from the the people that need those as a priority in this country. It's kind of weird. Like there was a guy earlier who was just kind of spouting the contrarian view, like, oh, we can't shut everything down. And I hear that a lot. And it's not like an all or nothing proposition. I mean, to me, there's some things that, like, if you can do it safely and, in terms of entertainment or sports, like these diversions, they're not entirely unimportant. Like the rest of us, kind of need stuff to get through, these tough times.
Sure.
And, but it just seems like any of these leagues are trying to do that, and their motivation is money, but it seems like there's just kind of like the Twitter mob, like, just comes after them. Like, it's always so insensitive to like even think about doing stuff. So it's like none of these proposals can even get off the ground.
No, because again, it's not really up to them yet. You know what I mean? So what can they do, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, the NFL, I mean, I've been kind of, and we've talked about it here and there, like, I don't pay attention to the NFL except for the games. Like, that's my little way of kind of protesting or showing my dissatisfaction with the way they operate.
Sure.
And the NBA optically looks a lot better, like, it's tough to tell. Like, you see with China, the whole China thing that happened, where they weren't progressive. They kind of followed the money there. I mean, their interests with their, because the NBA has to cater their stars, because their star players are so much more important than the NFL players. Like they need to be sensitive to what the stars care about. And the NBA is kind of lucky in that what the stars care about is also what their fans care about. Whereas in the NFL, they kind of need to cater to the people that are buying Budweiser and pickup trucks.
Yep.
And, so it's kind of interesting to see, like, where the NBA, stands on stuff. I'm sorry, I'm not really being clear about that, but hopefully.
I got what you're saying. And real quick, before we let you go, the MLB, what do you think about that little proposal with this going back to where they are, spring training, which would be, again, just simply having these teams, in the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League?
I'm fine with it. And I think that with enough money to put together, you can create a safe environment for your players, for the people that need the support staff, and, and even the, if they want to have their families enclosed in that bubble. Because even, Yeah, I mean, even without testing, you should be able to basically, like, okay, we're going to kind of separate everybody for 14 days. You're inside the bubble, and now we know that after that point, you know, you're not going to be a threat or anything. And if we keep everybody kind of stays inside, you know, that stinks for those guys, but they're also getting the opportunity to make a lot of money. Like, we've all got to sacrifice. Like, everyone in the country is sacrificing. So,
yep.
You know, I feel like you could create an environment. I just feel like it's like kind of the public relations aspect of it that is holding back from, because it's just a bad look to do something that people considered non-essential.
I hear you, man. B, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you soon. Be safe out there. 610-632-0975. That was Brian in Plymouth Meeting. You can get on and hang out with us as well, Doug. We'll get to you first when we get back. We'll take a quick break. We come right back. Sidney Jones, you just heard him. Doug wants to talk about Sidney Jones and what he just heard, a short conversation, a quick Q&A with John Clark of NBC Sports Philly. And what they were talking about with Sidney Jones is saying, hey, you haven't seen the best of me yet. I can't even describe what it was. And we'll play it again at some point, because it was short and it was sweet and you guys can get the feel for it. But I love the confidence and all that. I'm just not buying it. At this point, I'm just not buying it. Are you guys buying it? Do you still have that faith in him? Are you drafting a cornerback? Because I still am. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli's producing. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A 27 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. We're asking, if you didn't hear Sidney Jones with John Clark on NBC Sports Philly .com, Philadelphia.com, or on Twitter, anywhere on John Clark's Twitter account. I believe it's at JClarkNBCSP, right? Something like that. I believe that's what it is. And I'll double check and make sure that's right. But before we get to Doug, who wants to talk about this, and everybody else, and Tim as well wants to speak about it is JClarkNBCS on Twitter if you wanted to see the video, because you can actually see Sidney Jones in the video as well. We're going to let Doug and Tim and Ernie and Salvatore hear it again and then just go right off of it one more time and let you guys hear and, you know, say your piece about everything. So here's Sidney Jones with John Clark once again.
You're working out with Ronnie Braxton, which is really good. And Ronnie said he is working with you physically and mentally. What is he working with you mentally wise?
Really just trying to stay focused in all situations. Even when you're tired, just staying focused in terms of being perfect when you're tired. I think that's a big difference of training, just training for precision, really. I think that's a game changer. Training for the fourth quarter to be as sharp as the fourth quarter as you were in the first quarter.
Howie Roseman told us here in Philadelphia that you've had some injuries and they haven't seen everything from you, and that it's now time for you to prove it. Do you also feel that way?
Oh, most definitely. Every year you have to prove it. No matter who you are in this league, it's a proven league. So what have you done for me lately in the league? So I'm here to do that.
How much of you do you think we've seen so far in the NFL? What percentage and what else is there for you to show?
There's a whole lot left. That's all I can tell you. Yeah, I haven't seen nothing yet.
How motivated are you this offseason?
I can't even describe it. It's It's not even on a radar. It's not even on a meter. It's thousands of times above that meter. I feel like I've gone through that adversity. I think I've, you know, weathered the storm. I'm here back. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to, you know, show what I can do and prove it.
Sidney Jones with John Clark once again on NBC Sports Philadelphia. All right. Are you buying it? Can't even describe where he is right now. John Clark asked him to describe the percentage that he has left and all of that. Says he has a whole lot left. He can't even describe it. And he just seems like he's in a good place. He's very confident. We've heard this before from him. We just haven't seen the production. Unfortunately, I'm not buying it. Are you? 610-632-0975. Doug and Penn Salkin. Thanks for hanging on, Doug. Wanted to make sure we heard that clearly again. What's on your mind?
Yeah, tell him to put down the Madden, first of all. He's living in a fantasy world. I have not been impressed with our secondary since probably the NFC Championship game, okay? Every time, I don't care who we play, the Dolphins, the Browns, like any team, anytime a quarterback loads up on third and long, it's a guaranteed first down almost.
It is, man. And listen, Doug, after they won the Super Bowl, we were all excited. The one thing I wanted them to do in the offseason was to go out there and get themselves another corner. Even though we were banking on Sidney Jones coming off of that injury, right? We saw him in, what, one or two games at the end of the regular season because the playoffs were locked in. They were trying to lock down the top seed and all. I've been calling for it, and they finally did it with Darius Slay. I have no confidence in Sidney Jones that he can go out there and be the guy that he thinks he is. I just don't. Until he proves it, you're right. He's looking at what he can do on Madden only.
No, exactly. And besides the point also, like, even the Super Bowl, we got torched that game too. We're 500 yards for throwing over us.
Yeah, and we can give him the caveat, of course. They played against Tom Brady. Sometimes that happens because he is the greatest quarterback of all time. And we know that. But that being said, you still gave up a bunch of yards to the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a Super Bowl record right there, over 500 plus yards. Like that's without Nick Foles, the offense looking, we don't win that game. I mean, so I don't know what these guys are thinking. Like it just the secondary has frustrated me for years. And okay, yeah, Malcolm Jenkins has been a great leader also, but again, like even he got torched a lot too. I mean, you just guys whizzing right by these players like it's nothing.
Yeah, and hopefully things, you know, change a little bit here when it comes to Sidney Jones. Quickly, do you still want to see them conduct the draft, Doug? We know what everything that they're about to do. Are they doing the right thing by keeping the draft going?
Yeah, we need some normalcy right now with sports. We need some kind of stuff. Like, I'm still mad, like, literally, if the NHL can't pull something together with the Flyers, then we got robbed this year. We definitely got robbed.
Yeah, I don't think the NHL or the NBA is coming back, unfortunately, Doug. I hope I'm wrong, but, I mean, I just don't see how it happens. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. He said, Doug said, since the NFC Championship game, they have not played well. That was 2017 of January.
I think they had a couple of good games in there. Thought they played pretty well in Green Bay.
Yeah, they were all right. Yeah, they actually played pretty well, Green Bay. Yeah.
Thought they played really well against Houston with their backs up against the wall. And
yeah, DeAndre Hopkins had a big number, but he, you know, it wasn't enough to hurt them overall.
I mean, to be fair, though, they've made it to the divisional round and the wild card round in consecutive years. I would wager a guess they were bad more than they were good over the last 2 years and somehow found ways to win games.
Yeah. Of course. I think a lot of that had to do with what they had in Jenkins and sometimes when McLeod was out able to be out there on the field with him and what you have up front, period. It was the safeties and your D-line. That's what it was. That's what it was. By the way, do they draft a linebacker?
At all or in the first round?
At all.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think
Nigel Bradham stays out there, something tells me that Nigel Bradham might be back.
I still think he will be.
Yeah.
I don't think he's getting the value that he wants.
No, and I remember John Clark during the time saying that during free agency when it just hit that he felt that he had been hearing like eight teams were talking or interested in him, and he's still out there. Maybe they'll wait until after the draft, the same with Jason Peters and all of that, but that's Cam Newton. We talked about Cam Newton and Jadeveon Clowney as our topic on Wednesday. Waiting until the draft happens to see what other teams do, to see if there are some spots open. Nigel Bradham, the longer he's out there, I don't know.
Well, and I'm
apparently
curious.
The word is also that they didn't have a great relationship at the end. So who knows that he even wants to come back. But a job is a job. You can't just not play for a full year and think you're just going to come back the next year easily.
Well, and I'm curious, too, is do teams value a guy like Bradham who's going to command a little bit more money of your cap compared to, you know, a third or a fourth round pick, a guy like Joe Bocci from Michigan State? Bradham's a better player, but I don't know by how much. And if the cap hit is, you know, $4 million versus, you know, 1.2, mm-hmm. they're going to take the rookie linebacker.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just hope that he pans out. And
so I don't know how much capital he has on himself at this point.
Now, I know you like Mike Queen. I mean, I know you like Queen, right?
Yeah, I like Patrick Queen a lot.
Patrick Queen, sorry. And you like
Kenneth Murray, too.
Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma.
Yep. And Akeem Davis Gaithers from Appalachian State.
Would you?
Yeah. Not in the frame. He's not a first round
pick.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah.
Would you?
No. He's a third round pick.
I'm talking about Queen or Simmons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over a wide receiver?
If Simmons is there, 100%.
I know you would.
Yeah, but
he dropped all the way from the top five all the way down there.
But if Queen or Murray's there, I mean, especially if Murray's there, I mean, I would.
That would be a tough one.
I don't think they will.
No,
but I would.
No, they will not. 610-632-0975. Ernie and Temple checking in with us here on The Fanatic. What's up, Ern?
Devon, what's going on, man?
What's happening?
How you doing?
I'm doing
what's happening, dog?
I'm doing all right, man.
Hey, look, man. All right, so to respond to the Sidney Jones thing, it's not a matter of if I believe him or not, or I don't know if I believe the scheme. You know what I mean? Because teams get freaky on us all the time down deep. You know, our secondary get taken advantage of damn near every game.
Yep.
So I don't know how much I can blame him. You know, he was a top prospect coming out of college, but you know, I don't know how good we develop draft picks. You know what I mean? I don't know how good we develop talent. I also wanted to talk to you about, like, have you seen All or Nothing with the Eagles? All or Nothing?
No, I still have not. I you know what? I wasn't interested in it, Ern. I don't know. Maybe because I know,
man,
the season wasn't great and it has much.
No. Devon.
All right, what's up?
Our team, we still got to the, we still won a division and we still got to the playoffs now. And we went through a lot throughout the season. So honestly, that's a lot of content on there that we could talk about. Like even if we could review it and talk about it, because the games that we saw, we could see the behind the scenes of.
So what stood out to you in it?
All right, to me, what stood out was how much you could see the toxicity of the wide receiver core before Alshon and Nohans left. Before they got hurt, you could see how bad it was, and the pressure that was on Carson.
Carson Wentz.
But afterwards, how everyone rose up, all the young guys rose up for Carson. I thought that was a great testament to how much of a leader he is. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, just to deter the people that talk down on him all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And hopefully he comes back this year and not worried about any injuries. You know, everything is
exactly.
Cool. Even after this spear or whatever late hit that you want to call with Clowney, he's back to who he is. And hopefully
right.
he has some weapons. With Deshaun being healthy to start the season off, getting some of these young guys in the draft, hopefully multiple, and we'll see what else they have. Hopefully J.J. Arcega-Whiteside can show a pulse.
Right. One more thing. The teams that are trying to play, like, you know, you get, I mean, the leagues that are trying to play, like the MLB and the UFC, the way I feel about those guys, I think they're being a little greedy, because we love our sports, but we don't want people getting sick and dying, man. You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of selfish on their end, but if they can make it happen and do it in a safe way, I guess. Okay. But I don't see it happening. You know what I mean? So it just kind of, it's a little bit of greed in there and a little bit of intrigue. So, you know, you got both sides of the spectrum. But that's all I wanted to talk about, man. Hey, stay safe, and I wish you the best, man.
Thanks, man. You all good down there at Temple? You good?
I'm good. I live right off of campus.
Yeah.
My uncle owned an apartment complex, like, right next to there.
Oh, great.
So I still take classes. We do Zoom for our classes, though. So
okay.
We're not there physically, but I mean, I'm cool. My mom got sick, you know what I'm saying? But you know, she gonna be okay.
She's
you know what I mean?
All right. Yeah. Prayers to your mom. Hopefully everything is good.
Hey, thanks, man.
You got it, Ern. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling. Appreciate that. And again, hopefully mom is feeling better and feeling well, and she'll you know recover fully, and everything is cool. Great call by Ernie. 610-632-0975. Tim, Jay, guys, hang on the other side. We come right to you after this break to talk about Sidney Jones and what he had to say about where he is with his mindset of who he is as a cornerback in this league and what he could provide for the Philadelphia Eagles. It would be great if he can go out there and perform the way that he is telling us he believes he could. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli's producing. I'm Devon Givens here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, 44 here on The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli's producing. And we're running with you for a little bit. I'll be back tomorrow here on The Fanatic at 3 o'clock. A little Saturday afternoon time with you. Going to be a good time. But tonight, 610-632-0975. Right now, currently talking about Sidney Jones and his comments to John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Sounds very confident out there for the Birds, but I think at this point for a lot of people, we just have to see it. We have to see it. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. As promised, Tim in North Carolina next on The Fanatic. Tim, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing all right, man. Thank you so much.
No, my pleasure. So here's the one thing I want to say is, first off, going into the season, I'm probably one of the biggest Sidney Jones cheerleaders because I think if he can pull through, it's going to help out tremendously. Here's what I heard from listening to that track a couple times.
Okay.
I don't hear a confident person. And I know the comment was made, he sounds confident.
Yeah.
If you really listen to the track, listen to the tonality of his voice. A lot of times a confident person doesn't draw out an answer like they're convincing themselves. Confident person a lot of times is going to get right to the point. And it sounded like to me, and I hope I'm wrong, I could be totally wrong, but in that answer, he kind of was stumbling over his words. He was drawing out how you haven't seen anything and I'm not even on the radar. And it's kind of almost like he's trying to convince himself that he's confident. And it's not like a, you know, well, what can we expect? You know, and then a really strong, quick answer like he knows he's confident. Mm-hmm. The way I heard that a couple times when it was played, I think it's someone that's trying to convince themselves that they are confident, but in actuality, they're not. But he's trying to convince himself he is.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a shame because at this point with where he is and what he's going through and what he has, you know, left for him to show and his chances left here in Philadelphia are slim. And if he doesn't get it done this season, listen, I'm still drafting over him right now, Tim, right? He hasn't shown us anything.
Absolutely. And the one thing is maybe drafting over him, the one thing I gotta give the kid credit because he did have a couple just glimpses.
Those plays that we talked about at the end of the season? Yeah.
But when they happened, they were like, oh, finally, like, where in the heck has that been?
And the crazy part is one of them, I'm like, I'm waiting for the flag because he still grabbed the guy. But it worked out.
And the one play also, he didn't even turn his head. He just kind of threw his hand up.
Yep.
And it happened to get in the way. So I would have loved to see his head actually snap back where it was a conscious reaction to what was going on.
Sure.
Not more of a coincidence. So, I think if he comes around, I'm the biggest cheerleader. I think it would be huge if he actually pans out to be 85% of what everyone thought he would be and just be not even a lockdown, just a solid corner that can be somewhat reliable.
Yep.
I think that pick in itself, if that happens, pans out at least decently. We're not, not an all pro, but at least we could have potentially choose one, hopefully, will continue to play at the high level he's been playing his whole career.
Yep.
And then a second one that is a serviceable cornerback that can at least hold his own. Not every single play, but just hold his own.
100%.
As Alan used to say, I can hold my own. Hence the tattoo.
No doubt about it. Quickly, the draft, are you in on it? You still like what they're doing, or would you prefer that they just hold off a bit?
I do think that the general public is thirsting for something, regardless of what it is, something fresh, something new, just to kind of, it's kind of a lose-lose or a win-win situation no matter what they do. That's the reality of it. And I do think that if they can pull it off, and it's going to come down, honestly, just to the production team. I mean, these people are getting paid a lot of money. If the production team can pull off a good product that they can put on TV,
mm-hmm.
it can work. But it's going to be really heavily dependent upon, again, the production of the people that are hired to do it and sure. how they're going to pull it off. It's going to have to be very creative. You're going to have a lot of minds that are coming together to kind of make this whole thing work. So it's going to probably be one of two things. It's either going to be really enjoyable or it's going to be a big dud. And there's not going to be really anything in between.
Yep. Absolutely. Tim, great call. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you and the family is safe, man. Really appreciate it.
You too, my friend. Take care. Have a wonderful day.
You do as well. You do the same. Thank you so much, Tim. 610-632-0975. Interesting points there. And, Sidney Jones did not sound confident to Tim. Stumbling over the words, not confidently answering John Clark's question at all. Just, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't described what I'm going to show, all of those things. All right, my man. You're going to get your opportunity, but first let me draft this guy from Iowa. You know what I'm saying? Let me draft this guy from Iowa. More competition for you. 610-632-0975. Jay in Roxborough checking in with us. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you feeling?
Good. I'm on the other side of it. I've heard some of the greatest athletes stumble over their words, but come out and become Hall of Famers.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not even concerned about, the interview. Some guys are not good interview guys, so that's overblown.
He's actually not bad. I've heard him plenty. He's not bad.
Yeah, but
just to your point really quickly, he's not bad.
Yeah, but I'm not taking too much out of the interview.
Okay.
Interview is what it is. But my thing is that, the guy had a hamstring injury, Achilles injury coming into the draft. And we only got a half a season out of him the year we won the Super Bowl. Then he had a hamstring injury in 2018, and we only got a half a season out of him. So he hasn't had a full season yet. So for us to really call him a bust or anything like that, this guy has shown me that he understands pro football. He understands how to play it. And the way I evaluate cornerbacks is some guys evaluate them in terms of, oh, we need a playmaking cornerback. I don't look at it like that. I look at a guy in terms of, does he know what he's doing out there? Does he understand a double move? Does he understand it's 3rd and 10? You don't need to be aggressive. That's what I need out of my cornerback. I don't know how other people judge their cornerbacks or how they want them to be, but everybody's not going to be Deion and Rod Woodson. You know, so what do you need? I just need a guy that understands what the offense is doing, understands down, situation, time of game, and make the adjustments based on that.
And I think, for the most part, this is what you've gotten when it comes to Sidney Jones, like you just heard from the caller, Tim, where he did say, I don't need him to be an all-pro. I just need him to be out there and be a good, you know, starting cornerback. And especially when you're opposite Darius Slay, where then they are going to try to pick on you and you can hold your own on the other side. It doesn't have to be the playmaking, to your point, Jay, or anything like that. Yeah, the interceptions will come. Knocking down those, you know, passes, deflected passes will come. Those things will happen. Being in the right spot, to your point, though, is the right thing. And not getting caught on the double moves like we did see him get caught, Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, all of them.
Right. And here's another thing is this, you know, that I looked at. You know, we got Rasul Douglas, and the thing is that we drafted him the same year we drafted Sidney Jones.
Yep.
So technically, Rasul Douglas, he's already paid off because he helped us during our Super Bowl year. So you can, I mean, people can evaluate, oh, you know, this guy's not a Pro Bowler, he's nothing, but didn't he do the job that he was drafted to do? He was drafted to come here and help this team win and win a Super Bowl, and he was a defensive back on a Super Bowl team. You know, so no, he may not have been, like I said, he may not have been the greatest or the top 10, top 20 cornerback in the league. But the question is, did he do his job well enough for us to win?
But also, you know, part of his job is when guys go down like it is now in situations over the past couple of years. He was okay in 18, but in 19, he struggled in the amount of time that he was on the field last year. And he had plenty of opportunity a season ago with both of those guys going down on the outside. Then LeBlanc getting injured. The same thing for Avante Maddox being injured. There's just something with him, though, that in terms of paying off for the Super Bowl, you still want it to continue later on as well, where you're paying those dividends also. And I don't know, even though he was a later round pick, he was still someone that we thought could play a little bit more for this team when needed. And those opportunities were there, and he has not done it.
Yeah, and I think that's where I kind of disagree with you.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, only because, you know, again, it's like you and I might have different expectations of our cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some guys, I know years ago, remember we had Mike Mamula.
Yeah.
You know, we used to always say, you know, he could never get a sack. All he's good for is hurries. But if the hurries are helping the other guy on the other side get sacks,
or an interception,
he's doing his job. So if you got Reggie on one side not getting any sacks because he's getting double and triple team, but Clyde Simmons is getting all the glory, we can't look at Reggie and say, oh, Reggie White, he must be losing it. No, he's dominating because he got two or three guys on him, so Clyde gets to roam free. You know, so
yeah.
I guess what I'm saying, Devon, is I look at defense differently across the board. At each piece, you know, if you got a good defensive line that's putting pressure, Sidney Jones is that much better. If you got a defensive line that's getting no pressure, Sidney Jones doesn't look good.
Well,
you know, so
they just bulked up their defensive line. So we'll see.
Let's see.
Listen, man, good to hear from you, Jay.
All right, man.
You got to be safe, man. 610-632-0975. We get to Ramin when we get back and everybody else, and we'll continue to talk about Sidney Jones, and we'll read some of the Will Smith stuff that we got as well on Twitter. We're asking everybody, and I've neglected to take some of the ones on the phones. I should have asked a few more people. Will Smith, best Will Smith movie. Best Will Smith movie. I was listening to something. They were talking about Enemy of the State, and I think that's one of the most enjoyable watches for Will Smith as a movie star. And what's simply Will Smith's best movie? Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli, right here in Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.